Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the McInerney Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
My Lord, I really love you. searching for people to love me. Wonderful it will be, my Lord.
I really love you, Jesus.
Thank you for your special love for me. I know that you can hear me sing it. Ooh, that I love you with all my.
What a blessing. Clap your hands for the Arise Choir. And let's say a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to be gathered one more time at the feet of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will brood over us tonight. Let your word fall on us like rain. Let it soak us. Do your work in us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. We are blessed tonight to have in our midst the convener of the Makanae Church International, Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. You may be seated. What a blessing. Tonight I want to share with you something that comes from one of the many powerful shepherd services that we have had here with Bishop. Yeah. And I'm going to be doing that for quite a while. Yes. I'm going to be doing that for quite a while because I believe that there are many, many things that Bishop has taught that we have not even begun to scratch the surface of. So tonight I want to talk about foundations. Foundations. Foundation. There's an architect sitting in front of me. So when I need help, I'll call on you. I want to talk about foundations. And this is a message that was preached to us, I believe, in January 2020, if I'm not mistaken. And tonight, I need you to understand that, you see, one of the problems of Christianity today is that we, let me read something interesting to you. I saw in my notes today. You know, there's a book or a series of books called The Humanist Manifesto. The Humanist Manifesto. You may not know, but Satan is on an agenda. And that agenda spans the entire world. And that agenda controls everything that goes on in the world today. It controls the thoughts of the most powerful men in the world. It controls the decisions of those who do everything in the world. Because Satan is on a mission. And one of the difficulties today is that Christians don't seem to understand that. we are not of this world. And we don't understand that we are supposed to be planted in a different place from the rest of the world. We don't understand that our foundation is supposed to be different from the rest of the world. So many of us have a foundation that is rooted in the world, and we are trying to use it to do ministry, to fight the battles of life, to destroy Satan. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. This is the beginning of the problems. Because all Satan has to do is to send you a storm. And that's why we can sit here and mention names of people who were with us 2 years ago, 3 years ago, who were in the forefront of the ministry. They were the names that we would mention when we're looking for good shepherds. And today they are nowhere to be found. In fact, the most shocking one is those who disappear without so much as a trace. Like, they just melt away from the church. They just disappear. They just disappear. Then you stand here, Bishop says, he's been in the ministry for 30 years. And I'm sure some of us, somewhere in the back of our minds, we imagine that in 30 years, his life has been rosy. No, I'm sure that's the impression you get. Like, if he faced the kind of problems you are facing, you don't think he would have. Yeah. That's how you think, that in 30 years his life has been. But you don't understand. You don't understand at all. You don't understand. In 30 years, he has probably survived 15 times the problems you have seen in your lifetime. The difference is that when you see a man who has foundations, he's different. He also stands in the storm. He gets battered by the rain. But the difference is that after the storm is gone, he will still be standing. After the storm. One day I was talking with Bishop and he told me something that I've never forgotten. He said that, look, a marriage that has not experienced difficulties is not a strong marriage. I said, how can I say that? See, a marriage that has not experienced it, it's not a strong marriage. I said, but why would Bishop say that? Then he said, the marriage that has experienced difficulties and survived the difficulties, that's a real marriage. That's a real marriage. The Christianity that has gone into difficulties, survived difficulty, that's Christianity. So, if you are doing the ministry and you don't face difficulties, I don't know what you are doing. Something else. It's the difficulties that will prove whether your foundations are real and the ministry you are doing. Difficulties, they are part of life. Some of you have a mind as if only you are suffering difficulties. It's not like that though. One day somebody came to me and said that, you know, in his house, he gets opposition about church and this and that. And I was standing here. I looked at the guy. I said, bro. I said, bro, me? My father was the one who brought me to the church. My mother was counting money in the church. Unia, it was not easy for me. It will not be easy for you anywhere. That is how we all passed through and did the ministry. Nah, we have gotten where we have gotten to. Opana. Dry your tears and go and face it. No room for softies. But you see, the problem is that many of us don't even have foundations. This is the point of it. The foundations are missing. So as soon as some of you are just waiting for the next storm. Yeah, you are just waiting to finish university and be unemployed for 7 months. We will not find you in the bus center work anymore. That's. We will not find you in the bus center work anymore. Recently, I was talking to my wife one day. She came up, you know, today I have never worked this hard in a job before. And she began to tell me all the things she had to do since morning, up and down, going here, this number of amount of paperwork she had to deal with. And I was listening quietly. And as she finished, I said, you are welcome to the club. Where you are, I was there 10 years ago. Deal with it. She was looking at me quietly. I said, yes. I said, but 10 years ago, you didn't know that this is how my life was. You are welcome to the club. Join it. It will make you better. It will make you better. There's nowhere to go without difficulty, so. And everybody will pass through a storm. So the question now is, if you don't have foundations, how are you going to pass through the storm? Many of us are young, and I'm saying that you are only waiting for the next storm. You're only waiting for level 300. When your courses become some way, you're only waiting for your grade point to drop small. We won't find you in the Bacenta work anymore. We won't find you on Tuesdays anymore. Now, when you come to church on Sundays, you don't want to wait for a meeting because you have to go back and do study group. And oh, Opana, you're not the first person to go to university. Oh, I'll grow when it's so. Share. Oh, yes. And we are expecting you to graduate with a good grade. Yes. It's part of the struggles. Reverend Jones is an architecture student. If he tells you the number of sleepless nights he has had, I've stayed up so much in my life at night that now I can't sleep at night. I struggle. See, I go to bed late. I'm trying to kill it, but I struggle. I lived my life like that for many years. Without it, I couldn't have done the ministry and passed exams. When you were in church, people were working. Hey, opana, I can't sleep. Yeah, so I'll drink coffee, then I'll go and continue. Round two, my day is in three. Lectures one, church two. Then we go and study in the night. Come and sleep at 4 a.m. You're waiting for the next stone. No foundations. You are just waiting for the next major facing. Then now you are in third row. You've gone to seventh row. Then you go to 13th row. Then now you arrive 2 hours into the service. Then you disappear. I said, all of us know names of people we can mention. We don't even know. Like, even if we knew that they had left the church to be good. Like, we knew that this guy, he was leaving the church. We don't even know. They melted, dissolved. But we don't have respect for foundations. I was going to read you something from the Humanist Manifesto, yes. So that you see how wicked modern men are. To show you the kind of thinking that controls the world. Just allow me something small. Just. And I'm quoting from the material. A lot of it is a little twisted. Let me just read some. The time has come for widespread recognition of the radical changes in religious beliefs throughout the modern world. So today, we are encouraged to modify Christianity. Modify Christianity. It's everywhere. It's on radio, it's on television, it's on social media. Modify Christianity. And I'm telling you that these are deliberate thoughts that have been sown by men over the decades. The time is past for mere revision of traditional attitudes. Science and economic change have disrupted the old beliefs. Religions the world over are under the necessity of coming to terms with new conditions created by a vastly increased knowledge and experience. In every field of human activity, the vital movement is now in the direction of a candid and explicit humanism. Though we consider the religious forms and ideas of our fathers no longer adequate. So these people say that the religions of our fathers are no longer adequate. This type of Bible of Isaac and Jacob, no longer adequate. These are the ideas with which modern men are making movies, designing cars, doing all that they are doing. The quest for the good life is still the central task for mankind. As a Christian, the quest for a so-called good life is not the center of your existence. Oh.
You know, it's a mistake. It's not. It's not at all. Yeah. This is humanism. Yeah. Putting man at the center rather than God. Man is at last becoming aware that he alone is responsible for the realization of the world of his dreams. This is the mind with which people walk around now. Many of us have the mind, that mind. That he alone is responsible for the realization of his dreams. Rather than submitting to the will of a creator. No, no, no. Man is now realizing that he alone is responsible. That he has within himself the power for its achievement. He must set intelligence and will to the task. The classroom must and will become an arena for conflict between the old and the new. And that's why modern ideas, that's why some of you, you know, one day I told somebody, I said, listen, when your lecturer speaks, separate the course material from his opinions. Separate the course material. Many lecturers have turned students into atheists and agnostics. Separate what is the course material from what is his opinion. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism, resplendent with the promise of a world in which the never realized Christian ideal of love thy neighbor will finally be achieved. Then he says that no deity will save us. We must save ourselves. And we are responsible for what we are and for what we will be. These are the ideas that control the world. That's why today, what happens today? Your members who are in the university, it's not Sundays that they write exams. There's a deliberate disrespect for the church. A deliberate disrespect for Christianity. A deliberate disregard for the traditions of Christianity. These are deliberate ideas, so they didn't happen by chance. I'm just, you know, I just wanted to point this out to you because there are many storms out there. And many of us are walking around naive. I tell my people, I said, when you listen to a lecturer teaching engineering, hear the engineering and remove the opinions. Remove the opinions. Remove the opinions. The classroom is one of the major places where people, Christians, face storms. Oh, yes. One of the major places. That's why many Christians go to the university and come back backslidden. Totally backslidden. And I'm just trying to point out to you, these are things that have been written by men. This is written by the American Humanist Association. Yeah. Led by men like Paul Kurtz, Edwin Wilson, Roy Sellers. I think there are three volumes of the book. This is what men have read and have used and are using to shape the world. Then you are sitting here, you will not find your foundations properly. You have no chance. Don't stand a chance. You're going to be around for a while. A while until the next storm, then you are gone. And that's why tonight I am revisiting a message that Bishop has taught us before on foundations. Yeah. Luke chapter 6, verse 49. You should know it by now, but let's still read it. I like it. So when you see the things of the world there, making it sound like Christianity is archaic, remember that I have told you that it is written somewhere. It is a deliberate plan. Yeah. It is a body of belief that the beliefs of Christianity are outmoded. Yeah. That's why I love Bishop Dagwood Mills, yeah, who still talks about the cross. The cross. The cross. You don't know what precious a man who sits in the presence of presidents has to sound politically correct. You may not understand. Listen, there is no message Bishop Dagwood Mills will preach in this country that the Jubilee House and BNI will not monitor. If you don't know, I'm telling you today. Oh, yes. Cry. There's somebody whose job it is. In fact, there are people who are in the services. Oh, cry. Yeah. Such a man, you can imagine the pressures on him to sound politically correct. But thank God that he's only interested in the cross. Kai! Say whatever you want to say. Interested in the cross. Huh? If you listen to yesterday's podcast message of the week, you'd have heard him saying that people say that he's preaching basics. Preaching basics. What is basics? What is basics? The basics are what we will live by. The day we stop preaching basics, we are finished. The day you stop focusing on basics and you stop thinking about basics, you are finished. You are finished. You are finished. You will now be subject to fancy English like what I've read you. Devilish rubbish like what I've read you. Luke 6. Oh, yes. Especially those of you who are venturing into tertiary education. I'm telling you, you are in a very dangerous place. Very, very dangerous. And I say the number one perpetrators are the people who are supposed to be teaching you. Because Satan has arranged it such that as they teach you, they also transmit something else alongside. I said, separate the engineering from the man's opinions. Oh, yes. His opinions? No. Let's start from 47. Or 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. To whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Then 49. But he that heareth and doeth not, it's like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And there's something Bishop pointed out here, which I want to point out to you, which is the phrase, without a foundation built an house. One of the major things I need you to understand today is that you can build without a foundation. Don't take your presence in the ministry to mean that you have a foundation. Careful. You can build without a foundation. I need you to understand, and I remember very well Bishop stressing on this point when he preached. Don't take your being in the ministry to mean that you have a foundation. Be careful. Because there are different ways in which a building can be held up. For a while. Many of us assume that once I am now coming to church, I no longer go to the club. I'm doing some basenta work. I have foundations. I came to tell you today that it's not true. You know, some of you, Satan has allowed you to do the basenta work for some 3 years so that when he hits you, he gets you properly. The bigger you get, the heavier your fall will be. Don't assume that because you come for a right service, you have foundations. Pastors, don't assume that because you have been appointed, you have foundations. I'm telling you. No. One day, Bishop and I were talking. We were discussing something. And a pastor's name. And his first statement to me that, Kobe, I don't believe that this pastor is born again. And I said, it is true. A born again person is not capable of what he's doing. Because you could see in the person's actions that there was no part of his life, his thoughts, his beliefs that was guided by scripture. Yeah. A guided by scripture. I said, the fact that you are a pastor doesn't mean that you are foundations. The fact that you are pastoring a branch, it doesn't mean that you are foundations. In fact, many years ago, I came across a book called, I think it's titled, The Four Major Cults of the World. And you will discover that each of them came out of Christianity. The world's biggest cults have always come out of Christianity. Oh, yes. If you look for the most significant cult disasters of the world, Jim Jones in Guyana, pastor, and then it became something else. I'm saying that don't assume you have a foundation. No. And many of us don't. But what is the problem? The problem is that we don't see it until the storm comes. Because you see, in 48, he says that he is like a man which built an house. He dig deep and laid the foundation, but he built an house. 49:2, he says that he who heareth and doeth, it's like a man who without a foundation built an house. So both people will build a house. One has a foundation, one doesn't. But both of them will build a house to be standing. So we are all here. Some have foundations, some don't. So until you pay attention to the subject of foundations, you are just waiting for the next storm. I'm telling you. Some of you, your storm has already arrived. You are being washed away gradually. Gradually. Washed away gradually. Some of you, half of the house has been washed away. When the waves come in, they go with a piece. When they come in, right now the kitchen is gone. One bedroom is gone. And half a toilet. Your sitting room is full of water. Very soon, the walls will be eroded. Huh? It's on its way out. But you are here. You come for shine service. Come for his presence. Come for redemption. Whichever service you attend. You are around. You are smiling. You are dressed. But your sitting room has been washed away. It's going small, small, small. It's wild though, like in the spirit, somebody's bedroom has been washed away. Maybe we are seeing the front of the house, but the back has been eaten away. Hey, it's been eaten away. Hey. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. We're talking about foundations tonight. Listen. Anything you are doing which doesn't have the right foundations, you're in trouble. You know, when I first went to learn how to play golf, the person who took me to the range, to the golf course, he took me straight to a coach. And he told the man that this is my friend. He has never played golf before. So I'm putting him in your hands to teach him. For 3 months, I never went on the golf course. Every week I go to the range. He taught me step by step, step by step, step by step. And he told me, he said, don't be in a hurry. Let's get the basic things properly first. And I remember sometimes I'll be frustrated because one day I went and I was swinging, hitting balls. When he came, he said, your grip is wrong. I said, what is wrong about this grip? What is wrong about that grip? Now that I'm tired, though, what is wrong about that grip? Then he held, said, put the club in the palm of it. Do this, do that, this. But gradually, after some months, I stopped doing lessons with him. I was now practicing on my own. One day, I was practicing when he came and stood there. Then he asked me that, have you been taking lessons somewhere else? I said, no. He said, this is the only place you come to. I said, yes. He said, I don't believe it. I said, it's only what you have taught me that I'm using. He said, no, the way you are swinging, I don't believe it. It looks like I've been taking lessons somewhere else. But you see, he had taken his time to build the foundation for me. One day I went to play with a caddy. When I teed off, he said, hey! I said, why? He said, but we saw you when you came to this golf course. And already you are playing these things. I said, oh, relax. It's beginning. Don't speak as if I know how to play. Relax. But it's because somebody had taken his time to build the foundation. He would always tell me, relax, don't be in a hurry. Let's get the foundations right. Let's get the basics right. Anything you are doing, you don't take your time to get the foundations. You can't go far. The piano he's playing, there are different piano players. So, yeah, one day I went somewhere with my father. There was a band playing. I've forgotten the band. It's either Omanyaba or Fish Band. And the keyboardist, you know, I was interested, so I was standing behind him. When they are changing a song, he doesn't know keys. He doesn't know keys. So the guy who's on the bass guitar will tap the note for him. Then, oh, okay. He'll play the song with Pia. They'll just tap the root note for him. Bang, 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 bang. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Every song, when they need to change it, so they'll mention the song, then the guy will just tap the thing for him. Then, oh, Charlie, he will play, but he doesn't know the keys. No foundation. He can't go far. When I started learning piano, I went to a music school. For 1 month, I was doing theory, writing. So one day I told my sister, I used to go twice a week with my sister. One day I told my sister that, Charlie, this thing, if it wasn't that I was afraid of my father, I'll stop. It's just that I dare not suggest it. But if I had power and I had courage, I'll stop. Because how are we going to sit in a music school 1 month? They've given us a book every day. We are writing notes and we are drawing notes in line. Say, what is that? We want to play piano. My father had bought a piano. It was in the house. Every day we go and we look at the piano. This man will not teach us to play the piano. This music teacher, every day you go, he's writing things. Abba! 1 month. But that is why, when I was in the university, one day I went to Baum Library and I saw a book titled The History of Jazz. When I opened the book, I saw some jazz score, music notes. I took it and I photocopied it. I went to sit in my room and learned to play it. I could do that because somebody had taken his time to build the foundations. There's no classical piece I can't play. If I take my time and sit down, I can play any classical piece. Because the foundation that is needed, I've been given that foundation. Anything I want to build on the foundation, I can build. I can build a 10-story building on the foundation. Any instrument I want to learn, I can learn. Because I've been given the foundation solidly. I understand music. I was taught music. I was taught different instrument classes. Oh, the man disturbed us. Talking about wind instrument. We have come to learn piano. Now wait till concern me for wind instrument. Hey, this man. Tempo, rhythm. But it was a foundation. And because of that foundation, today, I can build anything on it. I'm saying that without a foundation, you cannot be like the one with the foundation. So some of you, they are asking you to build CO on your foundation. Your foundation can't handle CO. Your foundation can't handle CO. So as Bishop has called you in his nice office, he has added you to 3 other people, you have been made a CO. Actually, your foundation can't handle CO. Yeah. The building is about to sink.
Wow.
The building is about to sink. It's about to sink. In my family, my sister was the first to be born again, even before my father. And when I look at her, I still see the old school Christianity. Old school Christianity. Number one is reading, personal reading of the Bible. It's number one. Personal reading of the Bible. It's number one. Yeah. Spending time with God. Yeah. Spending time with God. Yeah. Spending time with God. You see it. When she talks, you can tell that this person is a Christian. It is there clearly. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Uh-huh. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. A foundation is meant to be built on. A foundation is what you build everything on. Without it being proper, you are in trouble. You can ask the architect. Everything depends on your foundation. As soon as your foundation is not proper, you are in trouble.
Oh, call your foundation now. You need to be as because the thing is hidden. Let me quit do how many hard and make you go.
Hey, you'll be hot. You'll be hot.
One my iron rods and come.
Let's look at a few foundations that we need to have. Three actually major ones. Again, I'm preaching a message that has been preached to us already. It's just a recap. I'm just recapping from the message. Forgiveness, mercy, atonement. The first foundation. No, Psalm 11:3. Let me work my way through it. Psalm 11:3 says, "If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Can the righteous build Basenta? No." Can the righteous build constituency? No. Can the righteous have members? No. If the foundation be destroyed? No. Many Christian marriages, the problem is that the Christian foundations of the people in the marriage are not correct. That's the real problem. The Christian foundations of the people in the marriage, that's really the problem. The real problem is that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? A day now, bit my nothing. As soon as there's a little pressure on it, trouble. As soon as there's a little pressure on it, trouble. The other thing we learned from this verse is that your foundations can get destroyed. Your foundations can get destroyed. You see, in Luke, we see somebody who built without foundations. This one talks about if the foundations be destroyed. They were there, but they become destroyed. Foundations can also be destroyed. Foundation. You should know by now that in the spirit realm, there's nothing that we acquire once and is guaranteed is there. There's nothing like that. Even your salvation. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, yeah. Every day till the day. You know, that's why Bishop quotes the verse about life and warfare. If you are not ready to, and then you should let God take you tonight, and then you just proceed. Perchance you'll be admitted into heaven. Yeah. But here it's fighting. Everything is a fight. Everything is a fight. Yeah. Those of you who are guns, I don't mean that type of fight. Everything is a fight. Say amen. Amen. To pray, you have to fight to stay awake. Some of you in the service, you are fighting to stay awake. Yes. It's a fight to be awake in the right service. The first foundation we must build or we must have is the foundation of Jesus Christ. A shepherd must ask himself if he has the foundation of being born again. Knowing Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And I like the expression personal. Personal. Because it means one-on-one. One-on-one. Like, do you know Jesus Christ for yourself? Do you have encounters with the Holy Spirit? Does Jesus speak to you? Personal, not the one we do in the church service and the one. No. You know, tonight, as the worship was going on, I sat at the back. One of the thoughts that came to me is that most of us don't do personal worship. And it shows. We don't do personal worship. And it shows. There's no time when you have music playing or you are singing and worshiping alone somewhere in a corner. And it shows. When you come into the corporate, it shows. Your responses show that you're not used to. You see, so personally, you don't have any expressions for God. You're not used to it. You're not used to it. You're not used to it. But if you know how to be in your room, singing worship songs alone, when you come here, it will be difficult for you. Oh, tena hingwa, kron kron yeso, hina noni Yehowa se. You've knelt down a little. Sura bofu tu yum se kron 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 kron. It's normal in your quiet time. When you come here, you won't be able to stand still. One day I was walking in Medina. I was passing behind some classrooms. Then I heard some people singing some tree worship songs. You know, I'm not good with tree worship songs. I'm not sure how it happened. But there are a lot of tree worship songs I can play, but I cannot sing. I don't know the lyrics. But I stopped. Before I knew it, I stood there for about 7-10 minutes just singing the song. They were saying there was no instruments. I think they were using even tambourines with some rough voices. It was just nice to me. I'm talking about personal. So a shepherd must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Without that, you are wasting your time. I don't know why you are here. I really don't know why you are here. That's like, there's nothing we say that is interesting to you. There's nothing we say that moves you. There's nothing that is preached that enters you. It's a waste of your time, because the personal, the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life is not there. Or it's damaged. One of the two. Some of us need to ask ourselves whether we are really born again. Oh, yes. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are... You see, that's the sign of being a new creation, that all things have passed away. Ask yourself whether all things have passed away. Ask yourself. Your stealing is still on. It's active. Yeah, it's active. Now, the only thing is that you don't do it in the house, you do it in the office. By manipulating figures, but your stealing is still on. Your things are still on. You're not a new creature. You need to ask yourself tonight whether you're born again. I'm telling you. Be real, though. Be real. You see, what I'm saying is not something to discuss with Emilia or Pastor Evans. No. It's you yourself and God. You just ask yourself, am I really born again? I should ask myself, am I really born again? That's why every time the sinner's prayer is said, you must say it with seriousness. Oh, hey, perchance you are not born again. Should in case. Hey. The foundation of Jesus Christ, the foundation of being born. And I'm saying that when you are born again, all things pass away. Some of you, the laziness that was in you when you became born again. That's what also you're born again. So where are the new things? Or it's possible that the foundation is destroyed. Careful. But a shepherd should have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A shepherd should have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The mention of the name of Jesus should mean something to you. It should mean something. And that's how come we have Christians who can't witness. Because they cannot describe. You see, a witness speaks of what they have experienced. What they have experienced. So we have Christians who cannot describe what they have experienced as salvation to others. And therefore can't win souls. Can't win souls. Can't witness to anybody. Can't win souls. The foundation of Jesus Christ is not there. It's not there. It's not there. Be careful. It's not there. It's not there. No experience to share. No experience to share. No experience to share. So you can't win, so you can't speak to another person about Christ. How much more bring the person up in Christ? And no cry, I'm actually talking about. It's only your pastor's experience. Even that one, you see, even the pastor's experience, Bishop, you can't connect to it properly because the thing, you're on different wavelength. No. You are on short wave. That one is on FM. You can't connect. There's no Jesus in you. There's no Jesus in you. Some of us, there is no Jesus in us. I'm telling you. That's why you would imagine that even amongst shepherds, among shepherds, if we are really born again, we shouldn't see certain things. We shouldn't see certain things. You ask yourself that, the quickness with which you get offended. Are you a real Christian? Don't say that. If you are really born again, properly born again. See, I got born again in secondary school. All my seniors I knew who were born again, it was easy to point them out. This one is a born again Christian. This one is a born again Christian. This one is a born again Christian. This one is a born again. Why? Because they had a certain demeanor. They had a certain demeanor. There was a certain gentleness about them. There was a certain forgiveness about them. The seniors who were born again, we were not afraid of them. We, the juniors. Not in a bad way, but we knew that this guy, he will not do something wicked to me. We knew that this guy, if I wash his shirt and it gets missing, he will forgive me. The seniors who were born again, we knew it. Then there were also those who were wicked. One day I'll share with you my stories in boarding school. You'll not believe it. I went to boarding school at 11 years. Small boy, I suffered. 2 terms. It was the first time in my life I gathered courage to tell my father that I will not do something. I told my father that I can't go back to the school. I had fallen ill for a long time, malaria. I was suffering malaria for weeks. And as I was recovering, school had already reopened. He asked me whether I want to go back. And I gathered courage. I said, I don't want. But you know, I'll tell you the truth. I was really motivated by the thought of the wicked seniors I was going to meet, because I had arrears from the previous term. I knew that, no, if I go, I'm a dead man. We knew the seniors who were born again. Their kindness, their forgiveness. They are the seniors who will be giving food to a junior. Born again senior. Crefe senior. Because when you have the foundation of Jesus Christ, it shows. It shows. Please sit down. The second foundation. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And I don't have to tell you that the kingdom of God is not just there. We're talking here. There's kingdom of God on the earth. I think you should know that. Cannot see the kingdom of God. So many of us cannot see the kingdom of a flourishing ministry. The kingdom of a buoyant church. The kingdom of sheep. Because you don't have a foundation of Jesus Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. There are shepherds who are not born again, I'm telling you.
Oh, lovely. Look, there's a note I made here. Without Christ well formed in us, we cannot see many things about the ministry and the things of God. Without Christ well formed in us, we cannot see many things about the ministry. That's how a pastor can sit in a branch for years and not see that the church should grow. He cannot see, genuinely. So when you talk about it, he gets offended. A basenta leader can be there with 7 members for 3 years and cannot see that there's something wrong. When Christ is not well formed, you can't see these things. So you can't see. You see, like when you watch football, the coaches who are watching, they see something different. Oh, they see something different. You and I were just watching with Sunday, I was telling some young people that's why we keep losing African countries. You see, Charlie, when the boys are in trouble, I'm in trouble. First half, then we come second half, You see that the thing will change. Then it will change to last 15 minutes. Then they'll score 2 goals. Then we'll lose 2-0. They'll say, Oh, Charlie, but boy, say, I remember more than Oh, my idea. But another coach sat down and looked at the thing and realized that these people, let them play for 60 minutes. After 60 minutes, we'll get them. I always remember South Africa, 2010. It was it South Africa? One of the World Cups, we and US, they beat us 2-0 or 2-1. They scored the 2 goals in the last 10 minutes. Yeah. And afterwards, when the analysis was done, you could see that they knew that in our last 15 minutes, we are hapless. So they waited for us. We played. They just made sure they didn't concede a goal. Then when we got to about 75th minute, then their coach said, it's now time to slaughter them. Oh, 2 quick goals. I remember two corner kicks. Then the game is over. Then we are going home. Because the coach sees something very different. So you think that, but we have played, We have played, What you don't know is that all you have done is waste your energy. And they were waiting for you to finish wasting the energy. It's the same way that in the ministry, you can be going and coming. You don't see basic things. And I'm saying that when Christ is not properly formed in you, you can't even see. No foundation. You can't see the next thing to do. You can't see who you should be following. You can't see what you are not doing that is important. Some of us don't even realize what is important and what is not. When you see somebody who can be a pillar in your bar center, you can't see. Christ is not formed in you properly. You can't see. Number two, foundation. The foundation of the Word of God. Foundation of Jesus Christ. Then now it comes to the foundation of God. Look, many of us are bankrupt when it comes to the Word of God. Bereft. Empty of the Word of God. You know Akan Proverbs? You know Ahimfie Appellations? You know Nigerian Proverbs? I used to have a friend who didn't just know the titles of movies, but he knew the producers of the movies. I've never seen some before. He knew the producers of the movies. Me, I don't even know the names of the actors. Yeah, we finish and we get up and go. There are more important things to store here. The Word of God, the foundation of the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was what? This verse, we can do this verse until tomorrow morning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Your knowledge of the Word of God is your knowledge of God. Your relationship with the Word is your relationship with God. Oh, yes. How much of God you know is how much of the Word of God you know. Without knowing the Word of God, you can't know God. That's why when somebody says he's a prophet, he has prophecies, only verses, or you're dangerous. A prophet must first have verses before having prophecies. I'm telling you. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. By who? By the Word of God. Remember in Genesis 1, and God said, God used his word to create. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
So the light of men, the light for you, Ima, is the word of God. Today I was reading the Proverbs chapter that talks about I think Proverbs chapter 5 talks about the adulterous woman. As I read it, I was seeing some new things. I said, wow. Wow. And then the phrase, I think is the translation, say her lips, say her words, her speech is smooth as oil. I said, hey, when I meet a woman whose speech is smooth, I must be careful. It's one of the characteristics of a strange woman. Yes. Her smooth speech is smooth as oil. When I saw the expression smooth as oil, I said, hey. When I meet a woman whose speech is smooth as oil, as I say, Mijina Ye. Oh, yes. Her lips are dripping with honey. Dripping. 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 That means that when I meet a woman now, I can't say money, I'm a dad. I should not cry. This is what Proverbs described. You will enjoy it and be calling for more. Be making more calls. But the word of God gives me light. I know that this thing, the thing that is sweet, you know, when I meet sweet words in a woman, I must run for cover. The word was the light of men. Many of us can't find our way in life. Because the word, we don't have the word. Therefore, we don't have light. We never know what to do. Never know what to do. Bishop, should I marry somebody who's older than me? Should I marry somebody who's younger than me? Think about it. Many of you take strange decisions. You don't know. Some of you have taken a decision. When Bishop calls you to his office and he gives you some 20 minutes, suddenly you see that you're a complete idiot. And then you're wondering how you took such a decision. It's because you took it in darkness. There's no light. There's no word to provide light for you. You're walking around in darkness. Let me tell you something. Let me show you something. You see how wide this place is? If I turn off the lights in this room and I ask you to walk from this pillar to that pillar, you probably will not arrive. In pitch black darkness, despite how wide the place is, you walk into an obstacle. That's how life is. No word, no light. You're just walking around in life. So you don't know how to, you don't know which beloved is correct for you. You don't know when you should get a beloved. You don't know anything. No light, no word. The foundation of the word. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehendeth it not. The essence of light in your life is that when there's darkness, it should shine. Yeah. The Living Bible says, his life is the light that shines through the darkness. Verse 4 says, eternal life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. The light of the word of God. A shepherd must spend time and energy to learn the word of God. Yeah. Learn the word of God. Yeah. Labor in the word. One day I was listening to Derek Prince and he said, many nights I sat up till morning studying the word of God. Studying the word of God. A lot of us, it's easy for us to remove our shirt and do 1 Corinthians not steady pen why I wanted. No word. But a shepherd ought to. When you start listening to a message, you should pull a notebook and start making notes. That's why this weekend when Bishop was preaching, he said that the preaching shouldn't be, or was it last week Tuesday? He said it shouldn't be music. Was last week Tuesday? It was Sunday, yeah. The preaching shouldn't be instrumentals to you.
something, messages are something you just listen to relax. Like when you get home and you want to pound fufu, then you put on a message. I give three by channel, mommy. Now, be a message in the kakra, mommy. Hey, Bishop Ogo, dear. Bishop Ogo. Bishop Ogo. Then in the end, I'm about to be, hey, Bishop Ogo. Hey, Bishop Ogo. You can never go wrong with him. Bishop Ogo, dear, me pastor, I'm not going to cry. I'm fine. It's not instrumentals. It's not instrumentals. No. You a shepherd, you must pull your notebook and make notes. Make notes. Note Bible verses. Pause the message. Open the Bible verse and see that, this thing was going on here. And what are your instrumentals? Share. Because, you know, I've come to learn that if your way of studying the word of God is to just read the Bible, open up. Especially you who has only King James. You won't get Shelley. The King James, sometimes when you're reading the chapter halfway, you get lost. Because you are reading, but it's not going. Nothing is entry. You are reading the Bible. You can say you have read the chapter, but nothing has entered you. Now, oh, sorry, I will say that's how you are studying the Bible. I grow when it's so. You better take a message. Pull your notebook. Break it down. You're listening to the preacher. Suddenly, the man of God says something. Pause. A shepherd who take a message, I won't pause. You just play beginning to end. No pause. No rewind. It's just like, yen kong kwa. And then what's the essence of the message? The difference between going back to listen to the message and Sunday, that Sunday you can't rewind. If you are lucky, Reverend Lester will say, take it again, and Bishop will repeat the statement. But when you have the message playing, that one, you can rewind, and some of the things, you must rewind and type the quotes. Type the quotes. That's how you learn the word of God. That's how I learned the word of God. Yeah, that's how I learned the word of God. Some of the things you must go back and type the code. These days, when Bishop is preaching, one of the things I like. You see, I have some notes here. Hot quotes. This one says, some of you are being overwhelmed by stupidity. Hey. Ash. Read such quotes, it makes you. There's another one here. Many times, great things happen when little things are done. These are quotes from Bishop. Great things happen when little things are done. Yeah. Many times, great things happen when little things are done. How will you know the word of God? It is a man of God who will break it down for you to understand. You and I, your intelligence is out. But anyway, it's not about intelligence. Really, it's not about intelligence. It's about who has the spirit. Somebody has the spirit. God has spoken to me. I've broken it down. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy. One day I asked the people in my house, why are you still buying potatoes to come and peel and chop up to fry? When it's in the shop, it's already cut. Some of them even they are pre-cooked it a little bit. All you need to do is grab it out of the freezer, dump it in the fryer. Choo! Nah, fine. Then you are gone. Why are you now coming to cut up the potato? Oh, potato no way I say. Why? I don't understand. Why? And it's not cheaper too. It's not cheaper. It's not cheaper. Oh, it's not. Oh, Kai. It's not cheaper. You're now coming to cut the potato. Then some of the potatoes are spoiled. And this, that's how you are now coming to open King James. To distill the things. Hey, I'm not saying don't open the Bible, but you are just using King James. Like, now you want to now do raw distillation. You want to take crude oil and now do fractional distillation. What is wrong with you? That's why you don't know the word of God. Take a message. Take a message. When they give the Bible, with your notebook, when he says the thing, you write. When he gives the verse, you write it down. Then you pause. Then you check it in your Bible. Then you see the commentary around it, what your Bible is saying. Then the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Then you add that one to it. Then you continue listening to the message. That is how you know the Word of God. That is how you know the Word of God. That's how you know the Word of God. That's how you know the Word of God. The final pillar. My time is almost up. My time is up. Look at somebody who by now is going to eat fufu. Yes, yes, wobba wobs. One day I was in the First Love Center and we were in the service. It was around, I'm sure it was around 4 p.m. And as Prophet was saying, we are closing in a short time. Somebody said, oh, what about wops? Then he said, you just came. That's why you're saying what about wops. Some of us have been here since early morning. You just came. Some of us have been in church since morning. You just came. That's why you're saying what about wops. you just arrived and you are now feeling, you say what about wops. We are closing. Some people have been here since morning. But I hope I could do food and I always just ask about wops. Okay, let me give you some other things. Now, without the foundation of the Word of God, the shepherd has nothing with which to feed the sheep. Without the foundation of the Word of God. You know, let me tell you something. The number one thing you can give to your sheep in any circumstance is a scripture. I'm telling you. Listen to me again. I'm saying the number one thing you can give your sheep in any circumstance is a scripture. Because a scripture will have a supernatural effect. A scripture will have a supernatural effect, which mere words cannot have. And a shepherd who doesn't have the word cannot feed his sheep the word. Many of you, your sheep are hungry. Many of your sheep are hungry. Many of your sheep are hungry. Who need verses out of the mawon? Like, Basenta leader. You should be able to wake up on Tuesday morning. Your quiet time was so powerful that you have descended on the page. Now, sheer revelation. Kai. Oh, hit it, then left, right. Then your members are responding. Hey, bless us, shepherd. What a word. Shelly. Are they also around? But the first thing is to check whether the cocoa seller has arrived. That's your number one. With the excuse that, yeah, first batch, yeah, not. I'm be fine. So which I will call now is you. No word to give your sheep. So many of our sheep are devoid of the word of God. Word free. Some of the people who come to church and don't worship, don't sing, all they need is their shepherd to give them a scripture. It will have a supernatural effect on them. It will have a supernatural effect on them. Scriptures are very supernatural. That's why memorizing scriptures is a good thing. It's a good thing. Even for you yourself, a lot of your depression can be cured with just speaking scriptures to yourself. Speaking scriptures to yourself. You should know some scriptural songs to help you. But I'm saying, this is what you feed to your sheep. Without it, you don't have anything to give to your sheep. You don't have anything to give. And I'm saying that, listen, God bless your intelligence. And God bless the fact that you're an engineer. But we don't use engineering to shepherd sheep. We use scriptures. We don't use intelligence. Some of you consider yourselves streetwise. We don't use streetwise
Don't use street smartness to shepherd sheep. No. Use scriptures. Scriptures to shepherd sheep. Yesterday, my son asked me a question. I had to reach for my Bible. Because I need an answer. I needed to be sure. He asked me that if Adam and Eve were the only people on earth, and they gave birth to Cain and Abel, how did Cain and Abel have children? Yeah, I just come from school. He said, Daddy, I want to ask you a question. So I told him that let's check together. We went into the Bible, we read it, and then my Bible had a commentary which says that there are different schools of thought. But the most popular is that Adam and Eve must have had female children, so it's likely that their sons got married to their daughters. There are some who say, there were other people in the Garden of Eden, but there's no evidence to support that. Gotta search. But anyway. Children of nowadays, complex questions. But a shepherd, what you give to your sheep is the word. Some of you are looking for money to give to your sheep. Your sheep don't need money. They need the word. From you, they don't need money. They need the word. They need the word. They need the word. So, Bishop, you don't understand. You see, this is my member. She just needs some 1,005 to start a business. And it's like, when she starts the business, to solve all her problems in life. If she had a shepherd who had the word, that shepherd will stand with her and teach her to believe God for that 1,005 Ghana seed. That is your role. That is your. I'm not saying that you never give money to your sheep. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying your first thing is to lead them to the word of God, where out of which they can get that 1,500 Ghana cedis. Oh Lord, are you here with me tonight? Oh yes. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer and the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word. Your ministry as a shepherd should be the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word. Your interaction with your sheep should be wrapped around the word. The word. The word. The word. When you take your sheep to Potbelly and you sit down and you're talking, word should flow. One day I sat down, last year I sat down with two very good friends of mine who are in different places, so we seldom see each other. One is outside the country. And for the first time in many years, the three of us were sitting down together, like university days. We sat at the dining table for 1 hour. It was just verses. We're talking about life. But it was ministry versus ministry versus. That's what we know. That's our foundation. That's what we believe in. That's what we walk in. The Bible. Some of you don't even believe the Bible. Many of you, when you have a problem, the first place you go to is not the Bible. It's not the Bible. You call your uncle first. See if he can send some Canadian dollars to solve the problem. But tonight I pray for you that you have the foundation of the word of God. The last one, and then we'll close, is the foundation of prayer. The foundation of prayer. So you see, there are three foundations: Jesus, the word, and prayer. Beautiful. Jesus, the word, and prayer. Jesus, the word, and prayer. A shepherd should have these foundations. Look, a shepherd should believe in prayer.
shepherd should believe in prayer. A shepherd should believe in prayer. You know, one day we had closed the meeting and they came to tell me that somebody was not feeling fine. She had a stomachache. So I said, where is she? So she's sitting in the car. When I went to talk to the person. I said, oh, then please go to the hospital. When you're going, there's a hospital at Amaria. Stop there and see a doctor. Then as I walked away, the Holy Spirit asked me that, so you don't believe in prayer? Hey, really? And Pastor Pan, you have just said you should go to the hospital. Oh, yeah. I walked about 50 meters and then I stopped in my tracks. Because it treated me too much. You know how it is when the thing starts coming, oh, challenge, you know, be anything. Then I stopped. I said, no. So I turned back and I went. When I got, I said, let me pray for you. We must believe in prayer. We must believe in prayer. You see, for many modern Christians, prayer is a mechanical thing that we do to fulfill some requirements. But I tell you that without believing in it, prayer is a waste of your time. When you pray, you must believe in it. 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 Acts chapter 6, verse 4. In closing. We will give ourselves continually to prayer. Continually to prayer. Some of us used to pray, we have stopped. Continually. Some of us pray when we have spare time. Some of us also don't pray at all. But I'm telling you tonight, a shepherd should have the foundation of prayer. Prayer that you believe in, not mechanical prayer. Prayer that you believe in. Your go-to whenever you have a situation must be prayer. Me, I pray about everything. Everything, I pray about it. Of course, it's not like everything. I set up a 1-hour prayer meeting. No, but I pray about everything. 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 There are many things in the day that I say a short prayer about. I pray about every little thing. If I tell you the things I pray about, you consider me weird. I pray about everything. 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 Because I believe in the power of prayer. You see, because for me, what is to guarantee that anything you are doing will go well? Where is the guarantee? That anything you are doing will go well. Today, I was going to send a text message to somebody I used to pastor who just left. Every month, I will text her once. And it's the same thing. Hello, how are you? You crossed my mind. I thought I'll find out how you are. This, that. The messages will be delivered, but she will not respond. The only one she will respond to is the birthday one. Happy birthday. That one, she will respond with one line, and then that's it. It's been like that for about 2 years. So today I took my phone. I said, let me try again. Let me try again. And I said, Lord, today let her respond. I was very surprised. I got a response. It's the first time in more than 8 months. Me, myself, I don't know why I'm still on that mission. Maybe God will tell me. Yeah. I don't know why I'm still on that mission. But I pray about everything. The reason why we don't pray about things is that we don't believe. We don't really believe. Most of you, your help in life, your source of upliftment, your source of promotion in your mind is not God. It's not God. Some of you are counting on a university degree. Some of you are counting on chattering as an accountant to change your life. Yes. Yes, some of you are waiting for the day you start working in a bank. Then you know that now all your problems. Oh, Bishop, you don't understand. See, even in the ministry, it's money. Oh, it's money. You see, if I had money to be paying for the busing, Bishop, like by now, my constituency will be bigger. Oh, really? All right.
Warren, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Many of you are sitting here. That's how you are thinking. But I'm telling you tonight, your first point of call in this life must always be prayer. Always prayer. Always prayer. Always prayer. When you are happy, prayer. When you are confused, prayer. When you are sad, prayer. Anything, prayer. Even after you have quarreled with somebody, pray. Oh, no, there are times when I've quarreled with somebody and I've prayed that God help me. And I've admitted to God that as I'm here, I'm telling you, God, that as for forgiving the person there, it won't work. But you help me. I don't know how you're going to help me, but help me. But as for forgiveness, there, I don't want to hear. I can't handle that forgiveness message now, but help me. Help me. Help me. I pray about everything. When tonight, those of you who have cars, when you drive out of the gate, what shows that you get home? Or what shows that you get home in one piece? I was talking to somebody this week. She said, oh, my brother has broken his legs. Then she said something which struck me. She said, what is even surprising is that it happened just near his house. Then I laughed to myself. I said, Shay, do you think that you need to go far for Satan to operate? Now Satan is waiting at your gate too. Right? Even your gate, some of you, he's on your porch. He's on your porch. Oh, that's now. Oh, yeah. Some of you, he's at your dining table. Who real and numb fish, sand and kase. Oh, wow. I'm in a rush to hospital. Oh, that's now. Don't pray. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. When you get on the truck, pray about it. I used to stand in the queue at Circle and pray that, Lord, don't let me get on the wrong bus. It can cost me my life. Don't let me get on the wrong bus. It can cost me my life. Don't let me get on the wrong bus. It can cost me my life. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Believe in prayer. Be a believer in prayer. When your member comes to you, the first thing is that, Charlie, let's pray. Open theory is too much. Open theory is too much. Now, what's on inside? Not bring me. Send me in the day. Bible. From today, believe in prayer. Let prayer be your first, your go-to in everything, 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 every little thing, prayer. Every little thing. When you don't have money, prayer. Everything, prayer. Even when my mechanic is going to buy parts, I pray about it. That, Lord, let these parts not be bogus parts that is going. So when I take my car to, I say, Lord, don't allow deception to enter the heart of this mechanic. Oh, yes. It's a prayer I pray often. Don't allow deception to enter. Because if deception enters his heart, he can collect my money and just do something that will even destroy my car. Lord, help me. Hey. I pray about everything. Otherwise, there's nothing to stop bad things from happening to me. From today, give yourself to prayer. Yeah. But I'm saying that tonight, I sense that what is really, really the matter for us, that many of us don't believe in prayer. Without believing in prayer, you're wasting your time. You have to believe it. He who comes to him must first believe that he is. First believe that he is. And then he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must first believe that God is. And then that he is a rewarder. That he will reward your seeking him. He will reward your praying to him. Oh yes. So me, I keep prayer lists. And I tick them off as God does them. Yeah. Because it is always evidence to me that God answers my prayer. Yeah. It's always evidence. Even this week he has answered my prayer. Always evidence to me. Believe in the prayer. And I'm telling you, shepherds, three foundations: Jesus Christ, the Word, and prayer. These are foundations that if you have, no storm will ever, 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 ever wash your house away. Stand to your feet. Let's close tonight. Lift up your hands, please. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. I just want you to speak in tongues. Just pray. Just speak in tongues. Allow the word of God to settle in your heart and be buried properly in your heart. Just water the word with some tongues tonight. Just speak in tongues. Makataya mandelia daraba remandaya balaba. Lord, let there be a repairing of foundations.
Yes.
A restoration of foundations, yes, in the spirit,
yes,
Lord.
Rande de la kaya baya
mama. Rimanda ya
bale ya ne de be de be.
Makata ya ba de la ba ba ba.
Mashala ba la ba 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 ba.
Rama mama 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 mama. La takata ya ba de le be de be be. Rama mama 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 mama. Lord, let there be a repairing of foundations.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
A repairing of foundations, Lord.
Ma.
A repairing of foundations.
Ma.
A repairing of foundations. A repairing, a restoration of foundations. Mata
kataya.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to lift up our hands and pray again and ask the Lord to build a great ministry on these foundations.
Amen.
It's a good prayer. Let's pray.
Kadaba, to build a great ministry.
To build a great ministry
on these foundations. Yes. Leva Shalaba, help us, Lord. Vezi Kadava Shoni Mokeve de Devosh. Makalaba, the foundation of the Word of God, the foundation of Jesus, and the foundation of prayer. Help us, Lord, to build a great ministry. Kadavasuni mo kevese. Zeva shalavadu si prakadava di manama. Chani mo visi badivo shile ketonima. Zeva namakaso brahima venimona. Help us, Lord. Le kadaba zinimona. Venimo kefeso venimakabladus. Branima sile vekesoni makadava zinimona. Zili valaba, lekalaba shonima, zili mana kada valado shibrekede, ma andalava shonima, le valaba, lekalaba, leve shalaba, that Lord who build a great ministry, vaso veketonima, bada vasanima, on these foundations, O Lord, lekadaba, lekadaba, leve debo shevekesonima. Zeli bada vasu vedini mapakadosh Blevini mona zeli handi savi ipradusa Veni makatashi impedisis Prima koshi na praketus impede Veli mana sonima leve sinima. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Vini kada zi impesus Vali matani neketos adivini mukadiba Bleni Moshe Levasuni Braha, Leveni Makalaba, Likadaba, that will build a great ministry. Oh Lord, on these foundations, Likadaba, Ziprini Nusia, Veni Maka Impini Voshini Ma India, Zelikata Visinimi, Vina, Liki Satush Impredisis, Vini Badius Impadi Ketush Aveni Asila, Velikadi Impeni Indikadoshi Vadisi, Brada Basunima.
Let's appreciate.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makanere Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays.
Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.